Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning into our hump show and for both your tweets and your Facebook messages. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter and then on our Facebook page too, plus our show Twitter. If you want to submit questions for Ask Amy Anything, which takes place next hour, that's probably the best spot to do them, on Facebook or on our show Twitter. Because if I dislike your questions, they will never see the light of day. So best to keep them away from me. The gang is back together now. I'm not sure for how long, but I'm not going anywhere for a long time. I've got no more time off until the end of July. And so I'm here for the long haul, though I am taking the show on the road to Atlanta coming up in early June. Actually, during the NBA Finals, I'll be doing a couple of shows from Atlanta because I'm speaking at a conference there in Atlanta. And it was easier to take the show on the road than try to cram in the travel around the conference. So that'll be kind of fun. Looking forward to checking out the new studios in Atlanta that are near the new baseball stadium. That's going to be awesome. So that's coming up in June. But otherwise, no more days off, Bill Belichick. Nothing is taking, no one's taking any days off. Nothing is taking precedent over this radio show until the end of July. And Isaac and Tom are back on the other side of the double pane glass as well. So it's our hump show, and we are rumbling through the overnight after hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if I want to share this or not, but I think I will. I mean, the boss didn't tell me I wasn't allowed to, so why not? For those of you who listen around the country to your respective affiliates, if you're listening to a local radio station in whatever city you happen to be in the U.S., and I know periodically we'll ask you to send us tweets from where you are listening and let us know what station you're listening to. But obviously, we have 300-plus affiliates around the country, and so you can find us on a lot of different stations. But we also have Sirius XM, Channel 206. People listen on the app, whether it be the CBS Sports app or radio.com. A lot of people catch us with the online stream on our website, or people frequently listen to the podcast on a regular basis, which is awesome.
Podcast.
But for those of you who check out the show when it's airing live on a local station right now, well, then this actually concerns you.
Live,
exactly. Thank you, LeBron. People ask me all the time. Well, not all the time. People ask me every now and then, is the show taped? I'm like, are you kidding me? If it was taped, I wouldn't say so many dumb things. No, the show is not taped. So the boss sent us an email on Tuesday indicating that recently there was a survey done with the affiliates. Now, the survey was done to gauge not only how the local affiliates around the country like each of our shows, but also, you know, how they like the website and what changes can be made. So a lot of business stuff and marketing stuff too, in addition to the programming. But apparently, we got very high marks here on After Hours. So that's good news. And I know we have more affiliates tuned in to this particular show because of the hours that we air, which is one of the reasons why I have remained here doing this show, even though there have been opportunities to change time slots, because we do have more listeners around the country. So that's awesome.
Bang!
Bang is right. Or boom, baby. But yes, according to the boss, we had very favorable marks from our affiliates around the country, and the survey rated us, we got more than a 4 score out of 5. Nerd alert! Exactly. I don't want to go into any more technical detail because it's really not worth it trying to explain it or set it up. But the boss was happy. I asked specifically for any feedback that pertained to the show. And since there was no complaining, I'll take that as a positive sign. But also that we were better than 4 out of 5 on the scale. So, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect a 5 because that's perfection. And I need to be shooting always for perfection. So it's better to have this motivation. So I would say a 4 is kind of like an A minus. I'll give us an A minus, maybe a B plus. It's okay. There's room for improvement, which is true. And I think that'll be the case until I die or retire, whichever one comes first. They might have to drag my body out of here. Maybe not out of here. It would be cool if we had some new studios before I was dead, but let's not get our hopes up. So it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and the affiliates apparently are happy. I hope you're happy too, because this is coming from program directors and radio stations around the country, but that has to do with you. It's because you listen, so that's cool. Our hump show is every week, middle show of the work week, and you can ask Amy anything except for the technical details behind the better than 4 out of 5 stars. That's kind of how you rate things online, right? You have this series of stars, and you click on the first star, the second star. Apparently, our PDs around the country clicked on the 4th star or the 5th star because we were between 4 and 5. I had to do a review for my latest stay at Airbnb, and I have to do a click on it. I'm going all 5s, baby, because now I understand what it's like to get a 5-star.
I was just about to say that. Or Uber is another one.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, rate your driver. Rate your host.
Rate. Don't rate your host.
Not fool.
Ouch. My abs hurt. Don't make me laugh either. Okay, so that's kind of the deal. Thank you for that. It was cool. And from now on, we'll stick to something that isn't quite so technical and, you know, star ratings and all that jazz. So either on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, you can send your questions and we'll get to that coming up next hour. But let's do a little NFL, shall we? These obscure spring, late spring meetings that are taking place in the NFL. Do you know generally people not only have no clue they're even happening, but usually nothing big comes out of these meetings. They're kind of committee meetings, and sometimes they're just about approving different initiatives or proposals that were brought up earlier in the major spring meetings, which take place in late March, if I'm not mistaken. But the NFL owners are together in Atlanta for a couple of reasons. Number one, there is a brand new owner in the NFL. So the Carolina Panthers were up for sale, and lo and behold, that ownership has changed hands.
David Tepper met with the Finance Committee this morning, got a unanimous approval from the Finance Committee. We presented him to the membership, and he got a unanimous approval from the ownership. So we'd like to congratulate David and welcome to the NFL. We're thrilled to have you, David.
The first thing I care about is winning. The second thing I care about is winning. And the third thing I care about is you guys are smart. So that's on and off the field. That includes the charity aspect, community aspect, and how you make a community better. So you win a lot of ways, and I don't like to lose it anyway.
Tepper is a billionaire. He's a 60-year-old hedge fund manager, and he was unanimously approved by league owners to buy the team from Jerry Richardson, who, of course, founded the Panthers franchise back in 1993, but agreed to sell in the midst of a ton of controversy, some sexual assault accusations, as well as some accusations that he was using racial slurs against a scout. I think it was only one, but don't quote me on that. So here are the Panthers, and they have changed hands now, and they belong to this man named David Tepper. He's actually not new to everyone in the league. He used to be a minority owner in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So maybe only Steelers fans know that, or maybe some of you didn't, because sometimes minority owners don't get their faces front and center. But he is now the man, the face for the Carolina Panthers. And as you hear him say after Roger Goodell's introduction and welcome, that all he cares about is winning. All he cares about is winning. That's it. You guys are really smart. All I care about is winning. And also there's been some talk about the Panthers getting a new stadium and where that should be and whether or not that they should continue to play in Charlotte, North Carolina. So he addresses kind of this idea that the Panthers are not a North Carolina team, but yet they belong where they are.
There is a logical place for this team, and it's Charlotte, and it is the Carolina Panthers. And that means this team has to have some sort of presence in the Carolinas. And last time I saw, how many are there? That's right. There's two of them. So, listen, Charlotte is the logical place for a stadium.
I like how his comments are interactive. I've done interviews with guests in the past. In fact, Jason Stark, who most recently was on the show a few weeks ago, he's a great friend of mine. And I remember when I first started talking to him at my previous network, that if I wasn't paying attention, of course, I'm always paying attention, but I could never get caught doing something else, like reading something or looking at something online, because he was very interactive. He would ask me questions. Isn't that right, Amy? Or what do you think? Or he would be answering a question that I asked him, but then he would want my feedback on his answer. And there were a couple of times when I got caught because I was only half paying attention. Again, I know that should never take place. But that's kind of what I feel like listening to David Tepper. You could be caught off guard when he says to you, oh, you're smart, right? Or isn't that right? Or isn't that, don't you think so too?
You can't read the internet.
No, well, you can, just don't put stock in everything that you read. So welcome to David Tepper, newest member of the NFL oligarchy, the NFL ownership. Remember, it's the owners who make the decisions. It's only Roger Goodell who operates as their CEO. They give him a lot of power. They pay him a lot of money to be the man who takes the bullets and takes the arrows. But the owners are the ones who are holding the purse strings. And there's another billionaire who's now joined the fold. So what else did they talk about on Tuesday?
The first thing I care about is winning.
I'm sure that came up. They're all big time into the winning. Why? Because it increases their bottom line. So what else did they talk about? Well, the changes for kickoffs are designed to make them safer. Will we even notice? We'll talk about that coming up. Plus, I'm sure you aren't surprised, the ownership spent hours going over the national anthem policy and whether or not it needs to be amended for 2018. They have not come to any agreement. In fact, according to reports, there's a major division among owners about whether or not anything should be done regarding protests during the national anthem. So I'll give you the latest straight ahead after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I just got a cool tweet from a faithful listener named Thomas. He says, many thanks for your show. This 11 to 7 RN streams you every night. Yes, that's a P1 right there. That's a compliment coming from the radio world. Let me just tell you, P1s make the radio world go round. They make sure we remain employed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. And producer Tom just pointed out that we're getting dangerously close to you watching me jump out of an airplane. I mean, I already did jump out of the airplane, but you get to see it. No one has ever seen the video before. Not even my mom has seen the video of me jumping out of an airplane. And when I say jumping out, I mean, you see me prepping. You see me getting into the plane. You actually see me hanging on the side of an airplane until they say go. I was the last one out of the plane when I went skydiving, and my heart was pounding so fast that I was pretty sure that I wasn't going to survive. You talk about an adrenaline rush. Oh my gosh. No, it was awesome. Actually, my mom wouldn't talk to me that entire day. She was so mad that I was going skydiving. So I went to call her before I took off, thinking like, okay, mom, just in case something happens, I want to say bye. She wouldn't pick up the phone and sent me a text earlier that day saying, I'm not talking to you until you're back on the ground. Okay, mom. Anyway, no one's ever seen the video. And so once we get to 25,000 likes on our Facebook page, you will see the video previously unseen. It'll be on our YouTube channel. But we're not quite there yet. We've got a couple hundred to go. So you can check it out on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, that's where you can find me. Well, not find me. That's where you can find Tom for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So let's talk a little bit about the NFL's changes to the kickoff. In 2018, it will look different, but will we even notice? I'm not actually sure. It depends on how much you pay attention to this particular play, but also how keen you are on the actual rules. So here's one big thing that you may notice is different. You can't get running starts anymore. So kickoff coverage teams, they cannot get that head start, that running start, as their guy is heading toward the football, right? As their kicker kind of does his fancy step to kick the ball off the tee, the guys around him who are in the setup zone, that's what it's called, they can't get a running start anymore. So that's one big thing that will change. But I'm not even sure average viewer is even going to notice that. I mean, okay, so it's a minor thing. But here's why this is so important to the NFL. They want less speed and power when the two teams collide. When guys on the coverage teams lock heads and attempt to block, and obviously you've got the moving forces that produce the concussions and the injuries that are so dangerous because you've got both sides with running starts. And so now they're kind of eliminating that. And so the way that they have approached this is that we'll try these rules, one of them being that you can't get a running start anymore for the coverage teams. Also, that most of the guys on the return team have to be in the setup zone, which is within 15 yards of the ball. All right, so it's just, again, it's about crunching it. It's about reducing the space and the time that these guys get to build up speed, to rush toward one another, and then to collide at full speed. There's no blocking inside the setup zone until after the ball touches the ground if it's not a fair catch. No more wedge blocks, which we knew, the two-man wedge blocks. So that's kind of something that we'd assumed was happening anyway. And then the kickoff team has to have five men lined up on either side of the ball. All right. So in other words, you can't overload. You're talking about not allowing one guy to get free because there's a mismatch. So you're not going to have one guy who's roaming free and then again has that full head of steam, that's that power and that speed that he brings into a tackle or into a block or into a collision. So again, it's really about limiting that. And the reason is because concussions, according to the NFL, were five times more likely to happen on kickoffs in 2017 than on other plays. I'll be the first to admit, and I'll raise my hand and tell you, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you already know this, I have been highly critical of the NFL at times for what I consider to be empty rhetoric toward cleaning up hits to the head, toward penalizing hits to the head in a way that it makes it so punitive for the athletes themselves that they won't try it. We saw still too many hits to the head last year that were not actually penalized. And I know some of you believe it's watered down, that the rules have changed the game and you can't possibly enjoy it, but I disagree. Because you know what takes away from my enjoyment of football is when a guy can't stand up after there's a collision on the field. Worst case scenario, Ryan Shazier. Now I know in that case, he led with his own head. But the idea is to take the head out of the game. You want your brain to be fully cognitive, to be fully functional so that you can think about what's happening. You don't need to use your brain for the tackles. You don't need to use your brain for the hits. And so this past year, the last couple of years, even as the NFL has given more lip service to cleaning up hits to the head, to making hits to the head more punishing for the guys who would do it, meaning suspensions, meaning huge fines, meaning flags on the field, meaning more ejections. At times, it's felt like it's nothing but words because the flags weren't there. The ejections weren't there. And until you hit guys where it hurts, and I don't even mean that to be a pun, but until you hit them in their wallet, until you take away a game from them with suspensions, until you flag them, it's going to continue. right? There's no real need for them to change anything about what they're doing and how they're doing it because the penalties aren't strict enough. They're not staunch enough. They're not memorable. So the NFL, at least in this particular case, with kickoffs, is saying, okay, here's one area where concussions are five times more likely to happen. Let's change it. Let's see if this works. And actually, they got together a group of special teams coaches to put this plan together. So the special team coaches themselves are the ones who kind of authored it. The whole idea is to reduce the speed at which the collisions take place. I'm not even sure many of us will notice, but you can be sure that if the concussions drop, the NFL will be sure to promote that to anyone who is listening. Here's something that's interesting too, which I didn't realize until I was doing my research. Concussions on kickoffs had already dropped from 2016 to 2017, but for some reason the league decided to address it. They still feel like the percentage is too high. And here's the dot, dot, dot. If the number of concussions that are sustained on kickoffs don't dramatically drop in 2018, there is the chance they'll eliminate kickoffs altogether in 2019, which I think takes out a major component of the game that I really appreciate. I don't want special teams to go away completely. I always complain about college football overtime because special teams are, they're gone all of a sudden. Poof, they disappear. I don't want special teams to go away. I don't want kickoffs to go away. I don't want the potential for the potential for these turnovers that are so exciting, or you know, kickoff and punt returns for touchdowns that are one of the most dynamic plays in sports that get a crowd instantly into the game or deliver a gut punch to the opponent, the one who sustains it. And what about the onside kick? I don't want that to go away either. So I think there's a lot of value and a lot of excitement and energy that comes with special teams. And you've got guys that, let's face it, are special team specialists. This is all they do in the NFL. I don't want guys to lose their jobs either because they eliminate essentially getting rid of a major component of football games. So there's a lot of reasons why I want special teams and kickoffs to remain. Let's hope that this works. These rules that are very minor tweaks, let's hope that these work and the concussion numbers drop in 2018. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number, 855-212-4227. I feel like people are going to want to weigh in about the various options on the table for the national anthems next year in the NFL. Will we see changes? Will we not? The league, the owners, are considering a lot of different ways this could go. Some are extreme. I want to hear your reaction. We'll get into that next. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Oh, that was the last play of the last NFL season. It feels like forever. I mean, I could do a little football right now and watching Johnny Manziel sort of take snaps at CFL practice for the Hamilton Tiger Cats does not count. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We do have some QB news coming up and also some injury news, which totally sucks. I don't know if you heard this or not. I will just throw this out as a tidbit. The Browns wanted to trade for Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles, and the Eagles said, thank you, but no thank you. Just so that you know, it was not a pair of first-round picks that were offered for the now backup quarterback again for the Philadelphia Eagles. I know that you know. Speaking of Dez, he still doesn't have a team. That is, to me, extremely intriguing as we get close to the unofficial start to summer and Memorial Day weekend. I thought it might happen before the draft. Then I thought it might happen right after the draft. It hasn't yet happened at all. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, you have a couple more of these ACL injuries or serious injuries than Maybe the market opens up more. I'm not really sure when that domino is going to drop.
We're on great terms.
The Des Domino. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's be frank here for a second. Let's get a little serious. I have no idea how this is going to play out. I don't think the NFL owners do either, which means the franchises, their staffs, the players, they don't know. They don't have a clue. Owners spent hours on Tuesday going around and around and around trying to figure out what to do, if anything, about the national anthem policy and about protests during the national anthem. Now, I just want to remind you, other than the one Sunday last year following the president's comments that you all remember, and if you don't, suffice it to say, they were just divisive and they were offensive. But regardless, other than that Sunday where there was a spike in national anthem protests, either kneeling or sitting or whatever else, whatever guys chose to do, there was a spike in it that weekend. Generally, it's 8%, not even 8% sometimes. Most Sundays, you're talking about single-digit percentage of players who are not standing for the national anthem. So it's a minority, a slim minority. And yet it's been very controversial and there's been a lot of fallout from it. Regardless of which side you're on, okay, right now is not extremely important, except maybe you've had the debate with friends, with family. They shouldn't be allowed to protest. They should be allowed to protest. Well, that's how divided the owners are. So whatever conversations you might have had, and I have had them with you as listeners, I have them with my friends who are sports fans, even family and friends of mine who are not big time into sports the way that I am, have an opinion about athletes protesting during the national anthem. As divided as we are as sports fans and as broadcasters, that's how divided the owners are as well, according to reports. There are owners lined up on either side. There are owners in the middle who have no idea what to do. And right now they're struggling to figure it out. So here are some of the options. And I'd love to hear your reaction on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page always. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Nothing's been decided. Here are some of the ideas that were thrown out there. The owners right now are brainstorming to see if they have any common ground whatsoever. One idea is to allow each team to set up its own policy. Oh, if you're not familiar, because there are some misconceptions about the NFL policy, the league does not require players to stand for the national anthem. It would like them to. It says they should, but unlike the NBA, that makes it a hard and fast rule that you have to stand for the national anthem and you have to be respectful, the NFL does not have that policy. It would like you to. In fact, in its game day manual, it essentially refers to the team standing for the national anthem, but they don't penalize, and it's not an actual rule, just so you know. So one of the ideas is to allow each team to set its own policy. Why would this be a thing? Why might this be the way that the owners turn? Well, think about some of the stories we heard last year about how locker rooms themselves were divided, or how some guys on a team would do one thing and some guys on a team would do another thing. The one particular example that comes to mind, and I don't mean to say that the Steelers themselves were divided, because in the end, they supported one another and they came together. But do you remember? I don't remember exactly what week it is. Please forgive me. It was early in the season, but you may remember when we had Mike Tomlin saying that the team was going to stay in the locker room or stay in the tunnel during the national anthem. And then you had a couple of guys that were kind of out in the corner in the tunnel. You had talk of how that was disrespectful and this is disrespectful. And then there was talk that that had divided the team. And this was kind of centered around Alejandro Villanueva. He didn't want to be the reason for this. But, you know, because he's a veteran, because he was an Army Ranger, because he was a West Point graduate, he did not want to stand for the national anthem and not be respectful. And yet you had guys that stayed in the locker room, and you had some guys in the tunnel, and then you had Tomlin and his coaches that were out there on the sidelines, and it called so much attention to it because it was clear that there were a bunch of different factions, and we had heard reports during that week that the Steelers couldn't agree. All right, so that's just one example. No doubt similar things have happened in other locker rooms. The Seattle Seahawks have been a team in which Pete Carroll has talked about wanting to allow guys the freedom to express themselves, wanting to allow guys to feel like they have a voice and they can use it. And yet, oddly enough, they ended up canceling an offseason workout with Colin Kaepernick when they couldn't get any type of commitment from him about what he would do moving forward with the national anthem. So one idea is to allow the teams to handle it themselves because of the fact that depending on what part of the country you are, who your leadership is, you're going to have different views on how the anthem should be handled and whether or not protests should be allowed. We know that Jerry Jones has said in the past he would bench a guy who didn't stand for the national anthem. No doubt it's because one third, roughly, of our U.S. military comes from the state of Texas. There are different regions of the country where views are so different. We know this for sure. It's the whole red and blue thing a lot of times politically, but you know where the conservative traditional pockets are, and the teams in those regions tend to get far more flack and pushback and fallout. And then you've got owners who don't want their players to be protesting during the national anthem. And so if you allow the teams to do it, maybe that saves the league the trouble of having to jump in, but it also means that your policy will not be uniform. Another idea is to not allow any team personnel out there on the field, on the sidelines, while the national anthem is played. And there have been a lot of you who've suggested that to me in the past. In fact, I just saw a couple of tweets about it even before I started this segment. Just keep them in the locker rooms. Don't bring them out there. And then it solves the problem altogether. Whatever they might do is done behind closed doors, and it doesn't affect the fans. Interestingly enough, Jerry Jones himself, again, these owners' meetings are generally obscure, but he was in Atlanta, and he chose to speak up about why they're having these discussions and about his thoughts regarding the national anthem and what they should do moving forward.
The main thing we want to do is we want to have our fans think about football. And we want them thinking about football. We've got enough things to watch CNN and these good Atlanta companies about them every day that whatever we do, let's put the focus on what the NFL is about, and that's playing football.
And we've heard that theme before. Vince McMahon has talked about it with the new football league that he plans to, well, the reboot of his football league, in that he wants the focus to be on football. There's going to be no politics. There's going to be no gimmicks. I want it to be about football. And there you hear Jerry Jones saying the main thing. Now, I don't know that he's speaking for everyone, but he's saying the main thing is we want the fans to focus on football and leave the politics and leave the other controversies to networks like CNN. That just happens to be the one that he mentioned, which, by the way, CNN is based in Atlanta. So, you know, that's where they are. So there are two ideas. Allow each team to do it based on their own leadership, their own views, and they can set the policy for their own guys. Another idea is to not allow anybody out of the locker room during the national anthem, even though roughly 92-93% of players choose to stand for the national anthem. You'd have everybody in the locker room. I don't know how I feel about that. If I were a player, I would want to be out there. I remember when I played college hoops, I loved the national anthem. It was that moment after you were warmed up, you were already into your game mode, your muscles are ready to go. But you stop and you respect the anthem. You respect the flag. You respect your country. You remember that you have the benefit and the privilege of playing a college sport, in my case, but in their case, a professional sport for a living. I mean, that happens here in the United States because it's the greatest country in the world. And so I don't know how I feel about that. There are guys who want to be out there. There are guys who are extremely patriotic and would hate to miss it. But that's another option. Punish everybody. Well, punish is the wrong word. Sweeping change so that even though it's only 7 or 8% of guys who protest, everybody's in the locker room. Another idea is to keep any players who don't want to stand in the locker room. Now, to me, that's also a really bad idea because you're dividing your locker rooms. And so I don't know how I feel about that either. How about this one? Complete other end of the spectrum. Impose penalties on teams and players who do not stand. Maybe even a 15-yard penalty and or a fine. So that would be if they change the policy and the NFL said everybody has to stand for the national anthem. If you don't, it's a 15-yard flag. That would require adding contract language, right? So this would be standard contract in the NFL. You have to stand. It's in your contract. Everybody knows it when they sign their new deals. Or they just leave it alone and they do nothing. And they allow it to continue the way that it has. What do you think? Should the NFL owners move? Should the NFL owners make changes? They're expected to resume these debates on Wednesday morning, so they're still chewing over it. Offer your advice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.